I'm not going to give you a message today. I wish I had one to go along with it. I've always wanted to tie scripture to my how I come to know the Lord, and it's kind of hard sometimes to throw some scripture in there with it. But we'll lead up to the, I got some pictures of my accident. We'll lead up to that. And trust me, I'm not perfect. I don't intend to be perfect. Don't claim to be. It all started, I was an auctioneer like Glenn was. Had a building in town. Was doing Saturday sales. Doing on-site sales. And I had a pastor. I know most of you know him. Or Pastor Jacobs. We all called him Corky. He would bring his grandson up there every Thursday night. Every Thursday night after getting ice cream. And he would say, John, man, when you come in church? When you come in church? And I would always give an excuse. Always give an excuse. I got things to do, the auction. I always had an excuse. Well, we were doing an auction in Nokomis. And I took the Friday off of the Saturday for the Saturday sale. We went, set everything all up. As Glenn knows, she set everything all up, except for the nicer furniture. We kind of left it in the house. And we're going to bring it out next morning. Everything had all been set up outside. We was waiting on a porta potty and something else. My son was in the hospital at the time. He had pneumonia. We were sitting there having a Pepsi, and I said, well, I'd like to go see my son. And the gentleman said, well, just go ahead and go. Where would you like to buy the porta potty at? I told him I'd like to have it over here. I climbed in my truck. I went up the block. I turned around, and I pulled up alongside of the gentleman. And I said, what time are you going to be here in the morning? And he said, we're going to spend the night. I said, how about 5 o'clock? I'll come in. We'll have a cup of coffee. I'll go put the signs out. I said, okay. I don't remember going another block. I don't remember anything after that. I remember waking up in the hospital about 3 weeks later. My mouth wired. I had things wrapped around my legs, everything you can think of hooked up to me. When I did wake up, of course, the first thing I thought of was auction. And that's what I said, auction. And my wife says, honey, that was 3 weeks ago. It just so happened when I went to one of the continuing education classes, I met a couple gentlemen there from Nokomis, and they had done the auction for me. In the hospital, I could tell you some funny things, I could tell you some horrible things. But the worst thing they said told me, I'd never be able to talk again. And that bothered me. I had one moment in there that I just literally just broke down because I didn't think I'd be able to talk again. And then Corky was up there. Corky would come 2 or 3 times a week. I remember the second time that he came, he says, John, where do you think you should have been? And my response was, in church. He said, well, maybe not on a Saturday. And he went to lead me through the Lord. I can't remember what day it was. Of course, I had drugs on me. I know it was in June. I told one other church this. It was a long time before I told my wife. Before I accepted the Lord in there. I would see like gargoyles coming around the side of the hospital. But the day I accepted the Lord, I didn't see him no more. And you guys feel free to ask me any question anytime. Stop me anywhere. If you want to know something, stop me and ask me. A lot of people ask me, do you remember seeing any light? Do you remember seeing nothing? And I always tell them, no, there was no light. I didn't see nothing. Probably because I wasn't a saved person. Corky then after that would come up there every day and read me scripture. Well, about every other day would read me scripture. One of the things that happened up there, I'd been cut this way twice. I was, Marlene said my face was flat as a table. 6 days later, they did surgery on my face. I have metal around my eyes to keep my eyes in socket, to keep my chin. It busted my chin, broke my palate around my face, down through here my chin. I have a plate in my pelvis, and I have a rod in my left leg. And everybody thinks, oh, that's fun going through airports, ain't it? No, I've done tried it. I've asked them. Hey, can you scale? We went through the, Marlene got held up with a Pepsi one time, and I was standing there waiting for her, and I said, there's a lady standing with a wand. I said, hey, can you do me a favor, scan me? She scanned me, and she goes, must be titanium. And then come to find out it's titanium. One horror story, and when I was in the hospital, I had to stand up. I had an acute aneurysm on my right leg. That's your blood vein going down your legs and a pocket along the right side. A pocket along the right side of it. They tried to cure it. They had to do surgery on it. My left leg was broken with a rod in it. I had to stand up. I had to stand up and I had to stand on my left foot on the walker and I had to brush my teeth, okay? That was difficult. But when they set me back down, my feeding tube was in my nose. And they'd found out the week before that it wasn't quite in my stomach all the way and it was making me nausea and throwing up. It's kind of hard to throw up when your mouth is wired because it ain't got no place to go. So when they set me back down, the feeding tube came out. And I bawled because I knew what was next. They were going to stick it back down. And I came to know that day that my brother, my younger brother, became my big brother. But he said, will you shut up? He said, if that's what it takes to do, then that's what you're going to do. Okay. Never heard that of my brother before. You know, the very next day, she came in there and she measured, she lubed it all up, stuck it in. Of course, you're gagging the whole time. It goes up and then goes all the way back down. And then she pulled it back out. And she said, yep, it would have fit. Up it went again. So I added, it wasn't until the week that I had left there. I hadn't seen my face. I hadn't looked in the mirror. Hadn't done nothing. They came in. They've shaved me. The nurses would shave me. And I wanted to see myself. My head was about like this. Of course, they reconstructed my whole face. Kind of teared up then too. When we came home, I was in a wheelchair. And we had to rearrange our whole house. We had built a new house. Of course, most of you know where it is across from the nursing home. We had built a new house. We moved from the country. Marlene wanted to move to town. And this was going to be our dream home. The only thing we had to pay on. That's it. We built our home. We had to rearrange everything. The bed was where the dining room table was. And I built the house with hallways and big doors. Because I figured Marlene, she's a little older, she'll be using them first for wheelchairs. Of course, guess who used them first? Corky would come over twice a week. And he would do Bible study with me. One day, I heard him come in, and I was in bed. I had made wheelchair back to the back bedroom, and I was in bed. And next thing he knew, he jumped in bed with me with a Bible, and we're both laying on our backs, and we're going through the book of John. Okay? That's how Corky was. And it was nice to know that somebody out there cared about me that much. And that's probably why I go around and tell this. And if they ask me, I tell this. When I could walk, I remember the day that they released me to walk. Marlene drove me over there to Springfield. A doctor looked and examined me over. And he said, yeah, you can walk. So we did a couple exercises. Well, I had no truck, and that young man named Caleb Cantrell was still doing my auctions for me. I couldn't do them, excuse me. And I needed a truck to pull the trailer. So I had Marlene drop me off at John Dirks's. I said, don't forget me, come back and get me. Now, I still got a trach in my leg. I'm wearing a t-shirt, a pair of shorts. After I looked a couple trucks over, so you got the prices and everything, I'm waiting on Marlene to come back and get me. She never came. Never came. So I'm looking out there at the edge of the road, and I'm thinking, okay, I can get to the bank up there. They got a bench. And this first day I walked. So I walked on up there. I sat down on the bench. I'm sitting there waiting. Marlene go by, and I maybe catch her. She never came. So I thought, well, the next stop is down at the grocery store. It's at the picnic table. I walk down there real slow. Everybody's passing me. Nobody's thinking a thing about it. I go down there, and I'm sitting there waiting on Marlene. She never came. I start out across the street, and I'm thinking, I can't stop here. There's no other place to stop. There's no picnic table. Just as soon as I start across the street, John Dirks pulled up. He said, you want a ride? Yeah, it'd be nice. He gave me a ride down the house. I went in the house and said, where are you at? She goes, oh, I forgot about you. So there's little things, you know, that you can. But one day, I asked her. I said, I want you to take me down after church day. I want you to show me the accident, where it all took place. Had a young man hit me head on. He was doing 85. Crossed into my lane. There was two guardrails. And a guy with a combine, a tractor, was coming with a grain bin behind it. And I was coming back this way to see my son. Hospital, around 16. He was doing 85. And he couldn't get stopped from the grain bin. And he came out and hit me head on. When we got down there, it was just a place, the cross. I don't remember nothing. We got home, we sat down. I sat down at the island, and I asked her, I know you got pictures of the accident. I want to see the pictures. Are you sure? Yeah. 45 minutes, she hauled her out of there because she didn't think I could handle it. But she brought him out. I did life-changing events because it changed my life. So if we can thumbed through a couple of them. That was my truck. The green one right there at the end. I had my oxygen topper on it. It ejected my oxygen topper 75 feet off my truck. It took them 49 minutes to get me out of my truck. I died in the helicopter. I died that day on the operating table. Anybody got any questions? I want to say, God, give me a chance, a second chance.
How many surgeries have you had?
Well, a year later, after being cut this way twice, the first time they did all the repairs. The second time, while I was in the hospital, they removed my spleen. I don't have a spleen. They found out I was bleeding internally. They had me on ice. Marlene said they had me on ice to bring the fever down. A year later, my liver quit during it. I had jaundice. They bought part of, they could open me up this way, so I have a cross on my stomach. They opened me up and brought part of my bowel up to my liver drain. Then I went in to have my jaw removed. A normal person's mouth will open up 40 to 45 centimeters. Mine would only open up 30. So there's still times today, if I ice cream, it'll get caught on my top lip going in. I can't get it in there if I get too big. Cheeseburgers, sometimes I gotta wash my cheeseburgers. Big Mac, I gotta push it real down, real hard to get it in there, okay? I have my top jaw taken off. I've had 3 centimeters shaved on the back, 2 on the front, and there's 4 screws on the back end. And so far, that's all I've had. In this whole process, 1.75 million dollars. Accident, insurances, and everything. Took us a while. It took us 14 years to pay all that off. Everything we could sell, we sold everything. There was a lot of people in town that would say, oh, he's living in a house down there. He's using all that benefit money that we got for him down there to the house. No, we did not. Oh, we used every bit of it. Actually, to tell you the truth, the benefit money that was down at the park, I was going to say, hey, that was my retirement. I told her to go put it in the bank. That's going to be part of my retirement because I know this took 10 years off my life. That lasted 6 months. It was gone. It was gone. It took us 14 years to get that paid off. I sold about everything I had to do it, except what we needed. There's somebody had his arm up over here. He can go on. That's the bolt to hold the topper on. Just ripped it right off. You can scroll another one if you want.
John.
Yes, ma'am? Oh.
Why didn't the guy that hit you have to pay for that?
He's died.
Oh.
19-year-old young man. Him and his buddy were in Assumption. They filled out an application. They were in a hurry to go fishing on their way back. He died that day. His passenger lived. They treated him, released him the very next day at the hospital. Of course, they arrested him because he was up for drug charges. Now, everybody says, well, you had insurance. Right. They had insurance. Out of the insurance money that I got, that the kid had, actually he had more than what I thought he would. Usually a young kid, 15, 16 years old, have the lowest amount possible, lowest, cheapest coverage. He had $100,000, okay? That was more than any 16-year-old I would think I would have. when it came down to it to get the insurance money, the insurance took 40%, the attorney took 30%, and left me with 30. Don't go very far when you got $1.75 million. But don't go very far. Yes, ma'am.
So when you said that you died, you didn't experience anything?
No, didn't experience nothing. I couldn't. There's things still today in the back of my mind I can bring up. I can bring up the paramedic was talking to me, and I can answer her. I know what to answer, but I can't focus in what it is. And actually, to tell you the truth, I went down there when I got to drive again. I went down and talked to her and the people. She said I was in there, my veins had just collapsed. They didn't get an IV in me until they got on a helicopter. She told me that she's not supposed to know, but she had a lady that was up there at St. John's, and they're not supposed to call up and find out how they made it through the night or not. And she called the next morning and said, I'd made it through the night. And she goes, you got, at least she had a fighting chance. Believe it or not, last fall, we was down there in Nokomis. Robert had a football game. We walked in the door, and I held the door open for a lady, and Marlene and Robert went in. She went in. I got behind Marlene. I said, I know this woman. She saved my life. Turned around and I said, you used to be a paramedic, didn't you? Yeah. I said, you saved my life. And she goes, who are you? I said, John Craig. She liked the fellow over, you know, gave me hugs and everything else, yeah. I ran into her. Yep. And there's me in the hospital. If you'll notice my ankles and the back it up one, you can see all the where my blood, it bled all out of me in my back. It all bled out. It was in the bottom. There ain't a day that don't go by, I don't thank the Lord for giving me a second chance. You know? And if it wasn't for that, the young boy was 19 for 6 days. 19 for 6 days. There's my face. See the screws in my bottom? The bottom's taken out. I got a piece. They gave me a piece that was in the bottom. All the, there they all are. Around my eyes, bottom, around my face. The only thing I have in there is around my eyes. That's all I got left. They did this. Give me a chin implant. My hinges, right through here, the doctor said it was the worst case I'd ever seen. And it was just crushed. Just totally crushed. In fact, they've asked me if they can use my pictures to teach class. Sure, you know, if that's going to help, you know. That's what his name was, Dr. Bass. Yes. Yes, I did. Had a seatbelt on. I thought, the only reason I say that the lawyers took 30%, I had thought in that truck I was driving had an airbag. And it didn't have an airbag. I thought it had an M1 that said airbag, because a lot of trucks do and vehicles do. They have airbags. A little M1 airbag. I thought it did. But it didn't. My face, it shoved everything up and it hit my face. My face at the steering wheel and everything. Yeah. Yeah. Like I say, I thank the Lord every day, and I thank for Pastor Jacobs to bring me to the Lord and walking me through that path. Yes, ma'am. No. No. Didn't bother me a bit. Sometimes I give you an example. I had a brother. He's 15 years younger than me. I just lost him last September. We did everything together. In fact, my mom and dad divorced when I was 9. So we had to grow up pretty quick. We did everything together. We went fishing, we went hunting. We helped my mom pay the bills. She didn't have nothing, helped her pay the bills. He was the person that didn't believe in the Lord. He figured you were dead, you're done, it's over with. He ended up with cancer and died, passed away. But the day before, so don't give up hope. The day before we was in there, Marlene and I was in there, was the only ones in there, and I asked him, walked him through the Romans Road, and he followed it. And I looked at Marlene, he repented, he accepted Jesus. I looked at Marlene, and I thought, can't be that easy. So guess what? I did it again. Went through it again. This time, when I was done, he looked up and he said, thank you, Lord Jesus. That's what I knew. So don't give up. Don't give up. As they say, it takes 6.5 times to hear in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ before you accept the Lord. 6.5 times. And I always worked on my brother, but I know I'll see him again. It was the same thing when I lost my son. I lost my son, he was 32. He would have been 37 this year. He died of cancer. He was in the hospital. Hey, young kids, y'all been on to the game Fortnite? My son was a senior engineer designing that game. If you look at it, he worked for a company named Epic, and he designed that game. He went in for surgery one day, and it crashed. He had to have a spinal surgery. It crashed. He was on his laptop. Gotta go. Right before they wheeled him in, he said, I got him going, folded up the laptop, went in for surgery. He designed that game. I lost him. A week before, this is why I tell you, don't give up on somebody. If you know somebody you love. A week before, I walked him through the plan of salvation. And it wasn't me. It was him. He knows. And I know that I will see my son again. And I will see my brother again. So don't give up if you know somebody. Yeah, Robin?
They're not lost. You didn't lose them. They're found.
That's right.
He's got them.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. That's exactly right. And during the day, I don't go by. I don't think about my son. I don't think about my brother. During the day, I don't go by. But I know I'll see him again. Anybody got any questions?
I'm happy you're here.
I would like to thank you for letting me come. And thank you for letting me get to share my testimony. Thank you.